A very good evening to all, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. So last week we began our study with the Antichrist, where we saw that Antichrist is not a little human being who is going to come and literally sit in the temple of God, that means in Israel, and everybody will worship him. How we saw that the word Antichrist has got two meanings. One is totally against Christ, and other meaning is that one who is using the name of Christ, you see, and in his name is doing things which are against Christ. So two meanings are there, and we saw the meaning which Bible uses is the second one. That means one who is a Christian doing things which are displeasing to the Lord, and doing things and preaching the doctrines which are against the Bible. So we studied how this Antichrist was formed during the days of apostles itself. And Apostle John clearly mentioned in 1 John that there are many Antichrists now itself. So by all these things, we have come to know that Antichrist is not a person, but it is a corrupt religious system. So the doctrines of devil, which sprang up during the days of apostles itself, but it did not have complete liberty because apostles were very strong in the truth. They did not completely allow the devil to work, you see, full hand in the ministry. But we know that after the death of the apostles, slowly the truth began to fade, and false doctrines began to creep inside the church. So we saw about how these things, you see, got inside the church. Apostle Paul tells that they will come, see, wolf in sheep clothing. And many of people among you, from you itself, they will deceive many. So, dear brethren, so these are the things which we need to keep in mind when we search for the Antichrist. So we saw that, you see, the devil is deceiving everybody, putting the thoughts that Antichrist is a little person, he'll come and put little 666 seal on their head and their hand. But the Bible says that Antichrist is quite living during the days of the apostles, and he will be completely annihilated only at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Anyway, so we saw at the last in the two parables, the parable of the, you see, the mustard seed. You see, the where God's intention to sow the faith of Christianity in the world was to gather a little flock. But unfortunately, it began to grow as a big tree, a great organization. You see, now Christianity has become so famous and so great that, you see, the birds of the air came and nested inside it. So birds of the air means Satan and the evil doctrines and the false doctrines that have crept through the devil inside the churches. And we also saw the second parable, in the parable of the leaven, where a little bit of leaven was taken and put into three measures of flour until the entire leaven was flour was completely leavened. So we saw that leaven in the Bible means false doctrines, how the false doctrines were put into the three important doctrines of Bible: love, hope, and you see, faith. So all these three things got corrupted once the people lost the love, faith, and hope on the Lord. So how did all these things begin? How did this great Antichrist system develop? If you see, in the church history, if you search, we come to know that the church was established initially in five major places. That is in Jerusalem, Antioch, Egypt, Constantinople, and Rome. We know about Jerusalem because that's the place when the disciples started the ministry. And Antioch, Acts 11 chapter is clearly given that the Christians were first called as, you see, the disciples were first called as Christians in the place Antioch. It is also mentioned in the Bible. And Alexandria, Egypt. So Alexandria is a place where the truth went on. And you see, churches were established there, and Rome also. Apostle Paul wrote He also went to Rome. So in these five major places, there were a lot of churches actually, as we gather today, here and there. You see, in the cottages, in the houses. Similarly, the majority of the church brethren were gathering there. So each and every, you see, churches had a pastor. You see, a pastor or a leader to take care of the entire affairs of, you see, that area, that church. Like, for example, in Jerusalem, there was not only one church, but there were many churches. And all these pastors, you see, the elders of the Jerusalem, you see, they came together and they put one person above them. That means all the pastors in Jerusalem was represented by one leader, and he was called as a bishop. So that is how a bishop word actually crept into this world. You see, bishop means what? The bishop, pastor, all these things are the same name. You see, same meaning. Different names, but all have got the same meaning. Here, the people did not, you see, understood it clearly. Hence, they used it as a title, pastor. Oh, pastor is lower than the bishop. A bishop is greater than the pastor. See, what does Jesus say? If any man wants to be rich, what does Jesus say to do? Mark 10:45. Mark 10:45. Joel, brother, can you read?
For even the Son of Man came not to be minister unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many.
Jesus did not come to be ministered, but he came to minister. He did not come to be that other people can serve him, but he came to serve and give his life as a ransom. So earlier, the bishop, the word bishop, the pastor, and all, you see, is to carry the meaning of servants. You see, that means the one who takes care of the entire activities. And in all these five major cities, similarly, the people elected bishops. So many bishops were there. If you see, they were five bishops. You see, five bishops among them, five major places. Then these bishops, you see, to show the differentiation between them and the people, what did they do? They divided the church into two parts. You see, the people who administered, you see, and all the done, all the activities, who took care of the administration activities, who did the sermon, praying, you see, blessings, all the things were done by the bishop. Then, what about the people? What are they called as the? You see, those were called as laity. The church was divided into two, the administration part, the pastors, the, you see, the leaders, they were all called as the clergy. And the laity, the common people, who come to the prayer every week, they had no, you see, work, no involvement in the administration activities, because all those things was done by whom? By these 77 people, you see. So these were called as the clergy, and under them was the laity. The laity people, the ordinary people, they come and go. It was like, what happened? It was like in an airplane, if you go, there is a business class and there is an economy class, you know. So differentiation began to come inside the church, you see. So what is the differentiation? The clergy thought themselves to be high above everybody. And the laity people also, they considered them as very holy, you see. So, hence what happened, the bishop had that dignity, had that pride and ego, and he wanted to still more become great. So, hence what happened, you see, they began to, you see, put more titles and began to add more dresses to their name so that people may think as them as very different from the common people. Read Ephesians 4 chapter 11 to 13. Ephesians 4 chapter 11 to 13. Joel brother, can you read?
And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the
for
work.
The perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So here you can see apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, everybody were given. What is the purpose of giving? You see, these are not the titles. Jesus never tell them to keep any title. These are all the work. But today what has happened? Instead of concentrating on the work, they are concentrating more on the title. So, as they began to keep a title, you see, the people used to respect them a lot. And slowly what happened? You see, there was a huge gap between this clergy and the laity. The clergy were treated as very holy people. You see, very righteous people. They were not like the sinners, you see. And not everybody could come and communicate easily with this, you see, bishops or pastors. You see, they're considered as totally different. And the people also began to call them as the same way. Pastor, you see. Then, different titles are there, you know. Pastor, evangelist, evangelist so-and-so. How are you? So, this is how they began to address. So, this encouraged them to add more titles. Like what? Father, Reverend, you see. So, these things, they began to add next to the name. What does Jesus say? Can we call anybody as father except our earthly father? Read Matthew 23, 9 and 8. Matthew 23, 9 and 8. Munna sister, can you read?
But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren, and call no man your father upon the earth. For one is your father which is in heaven.
You see, call no man as your father, for one is your father which is in heaven. So they clearly violated this basic commandment which Jesus taught us. Call no man as teacher or master or father. You see, but today everybody began to put the title fathers. You see, pastor, evangelist, you see. In a proper sense, we can say that there is no evangelist today. Because evangelist is a person who goes and takes the truth to the place where truth is not there at all. But today, everybody knows about Jesus. So, this is against the word of God. Next, saints. They used to put the name saint. You see, against the name, they used to put the title as saints. Saint so-and-so. You see, the holy father so-and-so. Okay. What does the Bible say? 1 Corinthians 1, 2. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. Romy sister, can you read?
Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be sent, with all that in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours.
You see, unto the church of God that is sanctified by the blood of Jesus, called to be saints. You know, the word saint, actually what it means, sanctified ones. You see, the pure ones. How are you sanctified? By our own deeds, no. By the deeds, no man can be justified. It's only by the blood of Jesus that we are sanctified. We are justified. So, why so special? Every believer, everybody who believes in the blood of Christ, are called to be saints. Why specially given this title only for them? You see, and they used to claim that between God and man, who is the mediator? All these saints are the mediators, Mother Mary, Saint Xavier, Saint Anthony are, all these people are what? They are saviors. You see, they are the mediators between God and man. They were acting like saviors. You see, this was a clear violation of God's commandment. 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter, 3 to 6. Gopal brother, can you read?
Second Timothy 2:3-6, right, brother?
First Timothy, second chapter 3-6, brother.
For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time.
Very good. One God and one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. So, what happened? You see, these were sanctified and the dedication was completely given to them. And next, you see, this began to encourage them to add more titles like Reverend. You see, now who is Reverend in the Bible? We already seen in the class of the Most Holy Faith. Can anybody tell me who is called as Reverend in the Bible?
God.
Very good, sir. God. Or God is called as Reverend in the Bible. See, Psalm 711, 9, sister. Munna, sister, please read Psalm 711, 9.
He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name.
See, holy and reverend is whose name? God's name. They began to put this title to themselves and call them as Holy Reverend Father, Right Reverend, Left Reverend, Most High Reverend, all these titles and all. You see, what does the Bible say? How is man created? Little lower than the angels. If man itself, perfect man itself, is little lower than the angels, how can a sinner claim the title which is equal to God? This was totally against God's commands. They began to add these titles as a prefix to their name. We have seen in the Most Holy Faith class, you see, how prefix work out. You see, who puts the prefix? It's a majority only doctors, judges, or police persons. Why? To easily identify, they have put these titles. But today, you know what has happened? It became a fashion, you see. So, it was becoming a fashion to put the title to the name. So, dear brethren, so what happened? As they began to put titles and all, people used to look them very high. You see, people used to look them very different from all the common people. And they used to wear costly dresses, grand robes. You see, grand dresses. When asked, they should tell the high priest in the Bible used to wear the glorious robe, you see, with the golden girdles and jewels upon it. So similarly, we need to wear all these things. And they began to, you see, wear grand things and come as if they're coming for a great exhibition. You see, it was nothing less than a cinema theater or a circus or a joker show. You see, dear brethren, where different types of cloths and everything's worn, and people come and demonstrate before everybody. This is how slowly the bishops used to do. And during that time, Rome was the capital of the world. But Constantine, emperor, when he got converted to Christianity, you see, he did not convert to Christianity because of faith on Jesus. No. He actually was supposed to go for a war, and it was a very difficult war. And on the way when he was going, he saw a vision, it seems, in the sky, and he saw a cross saying to him that, go, victory will be given to you. So, on faith, based on the vision, he went to war and won the war, it seems. And after the returning from the war, he inquired, whose sign is it about the cross? Then they told it is Jesus Christ, it's a sign of a Christian. So that is the time Constantine got converted to Christianity. Why? Not because he loved the Lord, because of benefits. Because of, you see, so many things. You see, he got converted. He did not have understanding of the Bible. He did not read the Bible, nothing. You see, just for this sake, he got converted. And being the emperor, what did he do? He began to tell everybody, you see, that if everybody gets converted, all the blessings will be given to them. What blessings? All the benefits will be given to them. What benefits? Job will be given in the empire. Marriages will be done. Sides will be given. Money will be given. So, because of this one only, the people got attracted and got converted to Christianity. Hence, now, you know, if you tell that we have become Christians, what do the people say? Oh, you converted, huh? How much did they pay you? Why? Because that is the way the work is, the world is. That is the way they do this conversion. So, this thought, you see, of conversion actually began from those days. And as he used to offer money, job, sites, everything, all the facilities, everybody got converted to Christianity. And what happened? The church began to be full of people. Remember how the church was? You see, in the church in Jerusalem, it was a very small gathering in the people's house, in the brethren's house. You see, everybody was gathering in the houses. But when the people began to come more, they could not be accommodated in the house. So hence what happened, the church was built. Now imagine, if emperor is the one who is taking in charge of building the church, how will he build? Will he build a small church? No. Based on his capacity, based on his power, he began to build big cathedrals. Hence, if you go to Europe and all, there are a lot of cathedrals. You see? Why? Who built it actually? These were all built by the emperor, sir. You see, dear brethren? So, what happened? All the pagan people began to come inside the church. They did not have faith on the Bible, nothing. They did not know anything about the Bible. So, if they came into the church, what was there in the church? And nothing was there. No function, no celebration. You see, then the people began to go back slowly. Then the bishops thought, oh, if we leave like this one, Constantine will close our churches. So hence what happened? To please the people, to attract the people, you know what happened? They began to follow all the rituals in their pagan religion. They used to do idol worship. The same idol worship was done to Mary. There, early in the morning, they used to clean the idols. You see, wash it with water. Yeah, and put flowers and put cloth. And burn the incense and candle and all the things. So same way, everything they did for here, Jesus and Jesus' mother, Mother Mary. So what happened? Yeah, this is how the church got corrupt. You see, what happened? The small mustard plant became a tree full of birds. You see, imagine. So this is how, what happened? The church began to gather. Now, imagine if a church has to be run, if somebody has to run the church, who has to run it? It is the bishop who has to take care of all those things and all. Because king is very busy, he doesn't have time to think and meditate upon all these religious things and all and guide the people. So, entire responsibility was given to the bishop. And the bishop, how will he guide so many people, thousands of people, if he goes to the job? Then king told, don't go to the job. All your requirements will be paid by me. Then what happened? You see, the church did not depend upon the people for offerings or fund. They all depend on whom? They all depend on the king. Then king thought, if a bishop is very far from the church, it will be very difficult to handle. Therefore, very next to the church itself, the bishop's house was constructed. Imagine, if a king does a construction, how will he construct a small house, small hut? He began to build a grand, excellent house behind the cathedral. That's the reason if you go to any churches, no, you'll find the bishop's house next there only, no? Behind only, why? All concept came from there only. You see, and you see, huge salaries were given because the bishop has to take care, no? If he goes to work, who will take care of the church and the people? So king is to pay from his treasurer, you see, as a salary. So what happened? Easily nice funds are coming. Amount is coming. No need to worry at all. Each and every person began to desire, you see, and get this office of a bishop. Why? Easy way to earn money. No need to take efforts, study well and all. Just preach the word of God. Few things you say, automatically you get lot of money. So the many people coveted for this job of a father and a bishop. So as these things were going on, the capital of a Roman Empire was shifted from Rome to Constantinople by Emperor Constantine. It was shifted to where? Constantinople. So once the capital was shifted, the people of Rome, they did not have anybody to solve their cases and support them and help them and guide them. Earlier, king was there. They used to approach the king. King used to guide them and do everything. But now, as the king was missing, you see, the people were perplexed. Don't know what to do. Then they all turned to the bishop of Rome and approached him. If they had any doubts, any questions, you see, any help they wanted, they approached the bishop. And bishop, he took this opportunity to help the poor. So what happened? All the administration activities in Rome was taken over by bishop. Bishop of, you see, Rome. Because that was the old capital of the whole world. So still, psychologically, everybody had that idea that the Rome is a capital and every important thing was asked by the Rome bishop. So similarly, what happened? You see, after Constantinople, after Constantine, Justinian, one emperor came. Justinian emperor, he was a very orthodox, a very pious person, very religious person. He had so much of fear on God that when he became the emperor of Rome, he could not take this title of being a chief religious ruler. See, Roman emperor had two titles. One a civil and one a religious title. The civil title was Roman emperor. The religious title was Pontifex Maximus. Pontifex Maximus is a Latin word which means chief religious ruler. So the king of Rome, emperor of Rome, was a chief religious ruler as well as a civil ruler. But once Justinian came for this position, he felt that he was unworthy to take this position of a, you see, what a position of chief religious ruler, Pontifex Maximus. Hence, he gave this title to whom? He gave this title to the Bishop of Rome. You see, the capital was again shifted to Rome. And Bishop of Rome was given this title. Because why? Everybody's psychology was that Rome was the capital. And Rome Bishop was important. So Justinian also recognized that Rome Bishop is the main. Now what about the other four bishops? Will they keep quiet? They did not keep quiet. They began to fight and quarrel. No, no. How come you without a permission? You're giving to him. We are there. Give to us. Then Justinian made a decree. What I have said is said. Everybody should obey me. If somebody doesn't obey me, you see, they will be punished. Then immediately what happened? The four bishops agreed to what Justinian has done. And that is the time that Justinian made the bishop of Rome as pope. In Latin, it means papa. That means for all your four bishops, he is the papa, he is the head, he is the father. Now you should listen to him. So this is how, what happened, if you see, the bishop of Rome became the pope. Pope the Great. Now all the bishops were surrendered and subdued to this bishop. And that time, pope used to put a lot of titles. See, I'll give you some examples. Pontifex Maximus. What is this Pontifex Maximus? Chief religious ruler, holy father. What does the Bible say? If you say that we are not sinners, it means that we are deceiving ourselves. But these people began to claim that they are holy fathers, so pure and so holy. You see, holy father of fathers is himself. First of all, calling a father is wrong. Calling, you say father of fathers means what? Then chief pastor, pastor of pastors. You see, the holy, most divine of all the heads. You see, Christ by unction. All the titles that belong to Jesus Christ was owned by, you see, the Pope. Abraham, by Patriarch. You see, and Melchizedek in order. Even Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Everybody should pay to Pope. You see. And Moses in authority, holy father of fathers. You see, so all the titles respected to God and God's son in the Bible was claimed by the Roman Emperor Pope. And they used to wear a grand dress. As I told you, they used to quote everything from the scriptures, misquoting from the scriptures, saying, this is how the high priest is to decorate, so there's nothing wrong. See, similarly, brethren, you see, we all know that that is the time that false doctrines crept also into the church. What types of false doctrine? Pope claimed that we have two keys of heaven and hell. If anybody disagrees to the theory of Pope, they will go going to hellfire, you see. And they used to sell indulgences. That means the father who has died many years before, if he's in hell, if you pay the amount here, once the amount comes into the treasure box, immediately the soul of the father who is in hell will be transferred to heaven. So all these fake things which are not there in the Bible at all was clearly, you see, proclaimed by the church. And during that time, dear brethren, the Roman Emperor, the Roman Empire especially, was under the threat of the barbarians. Who are these barbarians? Frequently, there used to be war between the barbarians and the Roman Empire. The barbarians were unorganized, uncivilized people. But they were very gigantic. They were very strong. You see, the barbarians never cared for anybody. Whenever they used to come to fight with the Romans, they used to come with daggers, butchers, all the sorts of, you see, tools and devices which they had in their house. And they used to come for, you see, war. But the Roman soldiers were well disciplined, neatly haircut, wearing shoes, wearing uniform, wearing helmet, coming on the, you see, horses, having the shield and buckler in their hand. But these people did not care about anybody. You see, they had these big, big hammers. Whenever they saw this Roman soldier, they used to just smite them with their hammers. Immediately, what would happen? Their head itself, you see, was completely gone. You see, it was completely open, or it was shattered, it was cut off. Seeing this, the Roman Empire itself, the Roman army itself, they were very frightened to go for a fight against these barbarians. So the emperor complained all these things to whom, if you see, they complained to the bishop, the Pope of Rome. You know, what did the Pope do? The Pope saw all these people, that they were very religious people, very orthodox people, these barbarians. They should never believe anything so easily. What did you do? One day, when they come for the fight, Pope came in front of them and said, "In my left hand, you see, in my left hand, there are, what is there? Cursors are there. Just wave my hand like this, you'll all go to hell and fire, be roasting there forever and ever. See, I got keys of hell and heaven. In my right hand is blessings. If I bless like this, you'll all be, you see, going to heaven." So, once he spoke all these things in the name of God, these barbarians were so superstitious people, they completely surrendered to the Pope. They surrendered whatever the Pope said. They agreed for it because they were very so religious people. You see, and the king saw what power this Pope is having. The entire Roman army could not defeat these barbarians. But just by few words, the Pope was able to convince these barbarians. So, hence what happened? You see, the Roman Emperor had one title. Earlier, what title did he give to Pope? Religious ruler title he gave. Now, he also gave the civil ruler power to Pope. That is the time Pope got both the powers, religious as well as civil. The government powers also was with him, and the religious power also was with him. This is how Pope became the supreme one. You know, actually, Pope, what did he do during those times? When he came to power, he used to throw whichever king he want. You see, he used to put some king, whichever he likes, on the throne, and whichever king he doesn't like, he used to be dethroned. You see, and he used to crown the kings whenever, whichever king he wanted. If anybody spoke against, they used to be killed. You see, and the emperors used to be so punished so heavily that everybody seeing the Pope got frightened. You know, one emperor, you see, disagreed to the Pope and did not come to the Pope's presence when he was called. But the next time when he was supposed to come, what did the Pope do? You know, Pope made the king naked and to stand in the snow for one day. And after that one, he was supposed to come inside the palace only by kneeling. He used to come walking by on his knees and come to the Pope, open the socks of the Pope, you see, remove the shoes, open the socks, and kiss the feet of Pope. You see, so these things the Pope did. All these things were done in the name of Christ. And whenever it was questioned, they began to quote the scriptures, you see, wrongly from the Bible. Like what? See, Psalms, second chapter. Psalms, second chapter. Joel brother, read Psalm second chapter. Eleven and 12. 10, 11, 12, brother. Psalm second chapter, 10, 11, 12.
Psalm 12, 10 to 12.
No. Second chapter, verses 10, 11, and 12.
Sorry, but which verse?
You opened second chapter?
Psalm second chapter, yes, brother.
From verse 10.
Okay. But wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instruct, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled, but a little blessed are all they that put their trust in him.
See? And this is the one they used. They used to tell the people, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Who is the Son of God? Pope used to claim that he was the Son of God. Don't kiss the Son. He will get angry. You will perish in the way itself. You will be killed. This is how they use the scriptures to convince the people. See Psalm 110. Psalms 110, verse 5, Buddha. Okay, Munasta, read Psalms 110, verse 5.
The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath.
See, the Lord at the right hand, Pope, he shall strike the kings the day of his wrath. Oh, if he gets angry, means he will even smite the king. You see? So whichever king he wanted is to throne, whichever king he disliked is to dethrone. This is how Pope ruled in this world as king and princesses, much even powerful than the emperors. Now, what did Jesus say about this one? Jesus said that when you see all these things, read in the book of Daniel for a better understanding. Read Matthew 24:15. Romister, can you read Matthew 24:15?
When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand.
Very good. You see, what did Jesus say? Wherefore, when you see the abomination that make it desolate, you see, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. When you see that abomination clearly standing in the holy place, which is spoken by Daniel. What did Jesus say? Whoso readeth, let him understand. So, if you want to understand more about this Antichrist, Jesus tells us to go and study and read the book of Daniel. So, it is given where? In the book of Daniel. Where is it given in the book of Daniel? It's given in Daniel 7 chapter. Okay? So, we are seeing, we are clearly able to understand that this is the abomination that make it desolate, who is standing in the holy place, which is there among the church. So, if you need to understand more clearly, we need to study the book of Daniel. So, next week, we will be studying Daniel 7 chapter. It will be a very lengthy class. So, I request everybody to please study Daniel 7 chapter before coming to the class. Okay? So, okay. Now, has anybody got any questions, any doubts in today's class? Anybody, any questions? Joel, brother?
No question, brother.
Munaster?
No, brother.
Romeister, Amar brother?
No, brother.